Open your Bibles now, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, that's page 703. We'll read the first six verses. We'll read these verses responsively. And the very first verse is the text verse. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 through 6, page 703. And may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And let's pray. And Father, thou hast given us a great day. This has been a wonderful day. And thank you for the success on the buses and for the great, great multitude of people who profess faith in Jesus. And we have a wonderful Savior. It's a wonderful thing when so many trust Him. Now we pray that you'd bless in this service. You've got something more for us yet this evening. We pray for thy blessing upon this church, upon these people who are here. We pray that thou wouldst certainly speak to our hearts that message which you'd have us to know and take to heart. Help our preacher very specially. Bless him with thy Spirit's fullness and power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ancient, when I hear John Thrall sing and Ray Boardway be chairman of the deacon board, I'm supposed to have teenagers chairman of the deacon board. I feel ancient. I was thinking, how long ago did I marry you, John? 20? Which marriage, huh? How long ago? Almost 30 years ago. And good night, Ray Ward. Yeah, shut up. Hope I'm still alive when you get old. But I think you'll want to hear what I'm going to say next Sunday night. I'm going to bring a very special message next Sunday night. I think you'll want to hear what I'm going to say. So if you haven't missed, if you have occasion of missing every once in a while, don't miss next Sunday night. I hope you'll be here. I want to speak tonight that one little line, cast thy bread upon the waters, it shall return after many days. I'm going to just sort of give you some fatherly advice tonight about life and about my title of my sermon is the most important preparation for a happy old age. Most important preparation for a happy old age. Father, bless the study and the discussion and the sermon tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me share something with you tonight that I think is very, very important, especially to those of you who are under 40 years of age. And I want to say this. You ought to prepare for old age. It is going to come. It is going to come. Now, you don't realize it now, but Brother Ray, how old are you? 45? 47. That's hard to believe. Brother Ray is only 18 years, no, only 15 years from being able to get his Social Security. And and I'm eligible for Social Security right now, but it's just not very long between youth and old age. In fact, I say often, I don't remember the years. I don't recall growing old. Just seemed like it was a few days ago when I was the youngest preacher on the program everywhere I preached. Now all of a sudden, and I'm almost always the oldest preacher everywhere I preach. But I want to share with you some things about something about preparing for your old age. Now, I think there ought to be some thought about finances for old age. I certainly am not opposed to that, and I think you should not forget to think about your financial condition in old age. I think that there ought to be some thought about your employment and so forth when you get older. But tonight, I want to talk to you about another area, which I think is the most important area concerning preparation for old age. Let me start off with a few illustrations. I was in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Took Brother Randy Erickson with me, by the way. I take him on a trip every year with me, once a year. And so we were down there two or three weeks ago together. There's a little par 3 golf course there, right there with the motel. I mean, you could spit out your window almost and hit the golf course. And so we played 9 holes Monday afternoon and 9 holes Tuesday afternoon. You might want to ask Brother Randy who won. I don't know whether he'll tell you or not, but you might want to ask him who won. But anyway, took Brother Randy with me. Monday night I was the only speaker. Tuesday night I was the only speaker. But Wednesday morning they had 3 other speakers. I'm sorry, I was not the only speaker Monday night. I had one other speaker Monday night, Tuesday night. But on Wednesday they had 4 of us speaking. I'm sorry, Tuesday morning. Maybe it was Duluth, Minnesota. I'm not sure whether it was Hot Springs, Arkansas. But I went to hear the other speakers, all that I could. And I sat way back in the corner over here. When I speak like that, young men on the program don't like me to come because sometimes I scare them. They'd rather me not be there. So I sat way back over here in the corner. And a young man stood to speak. I say a young man. He must have been 30s, young pastor, stood to speak. And he told a story about his alcoholic dad who not many months ago had died. And he told how that, and I thought that, the truth is, I thought he was telling the story of my dad. It just almost the same thing. He told about how he'd tried to win his dad to Christ and had failed, and how his dad had left the home when he was a child. And I don't know of many differences between the experience that I had and the experience that he had. And he said, I didn't think I could make it. I absolutely thought I couldn't take it. And then he said, at the darkest hour, a letter came. He said the letter was from Dr. Jack Hiles at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And Dr. Hiles simply said, I heard about your dad. I heard about your condition. And I want you to know that I know how you feel. And I'm praying for you. He said, Dr. Hiles didn't know till this minute, but he said, that's the thing that gave me strength. I needed it the most. I was in Louisville, Kentucky this last week. Or maybe it was Santa Clara, California. Or maybe I haven't been there yet. Maybe I'm going there. But anyway, I wish I'd have prepared some mental exercises for old age, but anyway, same thing. Monday night, I was the only speaker. Tuesday night, I was the only speaker. But Wednesday morning, there were 2 speakers before me. And I like to hear preaching, so I got there early so I could hear the other fellows speak. First fellow stood up, and he told a story. He said, Dr. Jack Hiles does not know this story. But he said, years ago, when I was a younger pastor, several years ago, he said, I was a missionary in Canada. All of a sudden, I was stricken with some kind of a mysterious heart condition. And the doctor came and told my wife that I had less than a week to live. He said, they just sent me home to die. He said, Brother House doesn't know this, but he said, Brother House was preaching in a southern city. Our teenage daughter was there in that southern city at the time. She came forward during the invitation that night and with many, many others. and said she was weeping at the altar. And she was praying for my healing because I had less than a week to live. He said Dr. Hiles was on the platform, and of all the people there, he spotted a teenage girl that was weeping over in the altar. He said Dr. Hiles left the platform, went over in the altar, and said, "Young lady, you seem to be heartbroken. What is your problem?" And she said, "My daddy's dying. He's a preacher in Canada. He has less than a week to live." And Dr. Hiles knelt and prayed for me with my daughter. And all of a sudden, he said, Dr. Hiles looked up my daughter and said, "God just told me something. God's going to heal your dad. God's going to heal your dad." He said, "Dr. Hiles doesn't know this, but about that time, God healed me. And I've been preaching now all these many years." As soon as he got through preaching, this is last week now, this is last Tuesday morning. As soon as he finished preaching, a fellow stood up and he said, "Dr. Hiles doesn't know this, but," he said, I was a pastor in Kentucky, big strapping fellow. I was a pastor in Kentucky. He's a charming kind of a guy. He said, "God spoke to my heart and told me I was supposed to become the chaplain of the Kentucky state government." Well, I mean, you know, how are you going to convince the governor of that? He said, so I just went down to the Capitol building, went in, saw the governor. Can you imagine? A country preacher walking in, said the governor. The governor said, "What can I do for you, son?" He said, "I'm the new chaplain for the state government." Governor said, "What? Who sent you?" He said, "God." And he said, "Well, you can't do that." Well, he said, "I'm here, and I'm going to be the chaplain for the state government." He said, "Well, we didn't ask you." He said, "But God sent me, and I'm chaplain." He got himself some clothes. All of his clothes are red, white, and blue. He'll wear blue pants, a red shirt, a white coat, or red pants, blue shirt, white coat. And he just started living now, staying all the time down there in the state capitol. They couldn't get rid of him. 1 year after he went there, the state legislature of the state of Kentucky voted to make that man officially the chaplain of the state government in Kentucky. Most amazing guy you ever saw in your life. I'm going to have him speak for us one of these days. And delightful fella. And he told that story. Then he began to cry, and he said, "But let me tell you how it all happened. I was a layman. I was in charge of the young people at a little church in Kentucky years ago." He said, "I wanted my young people to be spiritual. I heard about a youth conference at First Baptist Church of Hammond. So I decided that the best thing I could do to get my young folks spiritual is take my young folks to that youth conference at First Baptist Church of Hammond." He said, "I got them and took them to First Baptist Church for your annual youth conference, Brother Eddie." He said, "I was back there praying for my young folks to surrender to full-time service." And he said, "God said, how about you?" He said, "God called me in that youth conference to full-time service for the Lord." And he said, "I walked the aisle and surrendered my life to preach the gospel." Now the guy is chaplain of the government, and he knows them all. Every time there's a law passed, he gets it before it's passed, alerts the pastors about it. Sometimes the pastor has gone down to demonstrate about a law before the law's even passed. He has special services and prayer meetings and everything. Years ago, it all started right here in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Then this is last Tuesday morning. The pastor stood up and he said, "I'd like to say this word about Dr. Howell." This was Dr. Howell's day in Kentucky. I was down there to bet on the horses of the Kentucky Derby, but while I was there, I found a place to preach. And anyway, the pastor of that church stood up and he said, "I was a pastor, but," he said, "I had convictions, I had courage, I had standards. But," he said, "I didn't know a pastor is supposed to love." He said, "I went to First Baptist Church of Hammond. and he said, I heard Dr. Hiles preach. I never saw anybody, he said, love people, love his people like Dr. Hiles loves his people. He said he taught, Dr. Hiles taught me how to love. And I went back to my room that day and I got to thinking, that's what the Bible means in Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast your bread upon the waters, or he'll return after many years. What's he saying? He's saying, when you get older, if you just keep on investing and keep on investing and keep on investing, it'll make you have a happy old age. It'll give you, listen, that's more important than having Social Security. That's more important than having a retirement plan. More important than having a old age pension. More important than having a house that's paid for when you get old. I just go around the country now that I'm old. I go around the country just clipping coupons from places like that. My happiness, my joy, my excitement, my thrill. Almost every day. That's what Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says. Dr. Walter Wilson reminded me. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. He said that means he that goeth forth and weepeth, having a leaky seed basket, will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And if I were a young person again, I'd do exactly what I've done all these years. I'd quit playing so much and I'd invest for my future a little bit. I'd help everybody I could. I'd do everything I could to invest in everybody's life I could. I'd look for people to help. And when I got older, I could spend my old age just coming across blessings and clipping coupons like I'm talking about right now. I was down in Texas, preaching in East Texas a few years ago. And I was driving from Longview, I think it was, back to Dallas to catch a plane on Wednesday morning. Oh, and there's a wreck. And I didn't have it, of course, but there was a wreck. And so I got hung up. And I guess for an hour I had to just sit there on the highway till the wreck was all cleared up and everything. And that put me late to get to the airport, and that put me late to get back here in time to preach on Wednesday night. And I had to drive. You won't believe it. You won't believe it, but it's true. I had to drive 100 miles an hour to catch my plane. Now, I was either do that or it was not be here for Wednesday night. And so I drove 100 miles an hour with flashes up to 105. But I was driving about 102 miles an hour, looked up in the rearview mirror, cutest little light was going around and around and around and around like that. And and always did like sirens, you know. And, oh, dirty bricker back up, crack along, botcha, slattery up. My soul, that guy put me in the state pen for life. I'll go to the electric chair, 102 miles an hour. So I pulled over side of the road. He got out. Oh, he was mad. He said, just who do you think you are? He said, going over 100 miles an hour. He said, there are people on this road beside you. He said, you're going to have a wreck and kill somebody. He said, people like you is what's caused this country to be bad. And he said, where's your driver's license? I gave it to him. He looked at it. He said, Hiles. Hiles. I said, yeah. He said, are you a preacher? I said, should I be or not? I mean, what answer do you want? I'm not much preacher, but he said, you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He put down his ticket book, and tears began to stream down his cheeks. And he said, Jack Hiles, he said, 17 years ago, you won me to Jesus. He said, get in your car and follow me. We both drove 100 miles an hour all the way to Dallas Airport. Man, I was glad I went soul winning that night. You know the difference in a crabby old person and a sweet old person like me? You know the difference?
Solomon tells you, remember now thy creed in the days of thy youth. Now, remember, the evil days, when the evil days come nigh, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure. Solomon has said, I lived a selfish life. I didn't sow any seed. I didn't plant any crop for old age. And he said, I'm an old man. I lived a selfish youth. I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. I'm wretched. He said, young people, while you're young, cast your bread upon the waters. And someday, after many days, when you get older, the bread will come back. And as I heard one black preacher say one time, it'll come back with butter on it. Cast your bread upon the waters. While you're young, help others. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be little, a neighborly deed. Help somebody. It may be a letter that you write somebody, like I wrote that man who lost his father. It was much like mine. I did not know much of it. I had forgotten the letter. Little did I know that when I needed to be encouraged, he'd stand up there one day and tell me that he made it because of a letter. I did not know when I saw that little gal down in Decatur, Georgia, in the altar weeping one night uncontrollably. I walked out of the pulpit and walked down. I don't do that. You know I don't do that. I stand behind the pulpit and give the invitation. I walked down there and said, that little lady, what is it? You have a broken heart. She said, my daddy's dying in Canada. He's dying in Canada. I did not know that one day when I needed to hear it, a guy would stand up in Louisville, Kentucky and say, Dr. Hiles, God heal me. When you said to that my daughter, God told me your dad's going to get well. I'm simply saying that the great secret to a happy old age is a busy young age, a busy youth. The other day I was preaching. When the service was over, I was signing Bibles, and a lady walked up to me and she said, Dr. Hiles, she said, my family and I, we love you. She said, do you remember my son? I said, no, I don't. She said, one time you're preaching in North Carolina, and my son, who was a college student at Christian College, drove you to the airport. She said, Dr. Hiles, you saw that his suit was not very nice. And on the way to the airport, you saw a men's store and you stopped and you bought my son a suit. And she said, Dr. Hiles, she said, we love you and pray for you and thank God for you. 20 years ago, you bought my son a suit of clothes while he was in college. We'll never forget it. It's a wonderful thing to travel around the country just clipping coupons. That's all, just clipping coupons. Some of you old grouches. You know you're an old grouch? Why? Because you're young and selfish. While you're young, sow your seed. One of these days you're going to be 62 years old. One of these days you're going to need some encouragement along the way. And one of these days you're going to have people come up and say you won me to Christ years ago. I hope some of you young people living for yourself and living selfish lives, I hope someday you'll go, when you're going 100 miles an hour, some cop will put you in jail. But if you just keep on witnessing, little did I know. Now, you say, okay, I'm going to do that, so I won't have to go to jail when I go 100 miles an hour. Some of you are going to go soul winning next tomorrow night and then go 100 miles an hour Tuesday, thinking the guy you won is going to be the cop. It won't work out that way. But in ways, it's always a surprise. In ways, you'll never know. I was in a restaurant down south a few months ago, and a waitress came up, and she said, may I take your order, please? And she said, I know you. She said, you led me to Christ years ago, and she told me this story, how I led her to Christ years and years ago. In a few days, I'll be out in Southern California with Dr. Roland Rasmussen. I think it's my 24th or 25th consecutive year with Dr. Rasmussen. And I never go out there without remembering. Years ago, good night, it's been 25 years ago or more, Dr. Rasmussen was a member of a denomination that he shouldn't have belonged to, just like I used to be. And I went out to preach in Phoenix, Arizona. Dr. John Rice, Dr. Tom Malone and I were out in Phoenix, Arizona in a Sword of the Lord conference. Roland Rasmussen was a young man. He drove all the way, 700 miles from Canoga Park, all the way to Phoenix. And that young man heard us preach, and his life was transformed in that meeting. And he went back and left his denomination that he should have left, and has built now a wonderful soul-winning church. And he's one of the finest personal soul winners in America. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that you never know I did not know that a young man was there named Roland Rasmussen. I did not know one night in Atlanta, Georgia, when I preached to less than 100 people, and I said, somebody in Atlanta ought to do it. Somebody ought to do it in Atlanta. Somebody ought to do it in Atlanta. I did not know that sitting out there in that service that night was a young pastor with 20 people, and that young pastor was going to would say to himself, Dr. Hiles, I'll do it. If you'll sit down and shut up, I'll get out of here, and I'll do it in Atlanta. I did not know that young man was Curtis Hudson. He's preaching in Walkertown, North Carolina, one of the most amazing churches in America, Dr. Bobby Robertson. One of the most amazing. You stand on the front porch of that church, you can't see but two houses. Both of those are empty. One of the 10 largest Sunday schools in America out there in the country. It's nothing unusual for them to have 3,000 in Sunday school. They probably average about 2,800 people in Sunday school. Just built a gorgeous new building. I was down there. I was the first guest speaker they had in that new building. I was down there preaching. After the service on Monday night, a man about my age walked up to me and he said, Dr. Hiles, you're my grandfather. I said, hold it. I'm old, but I ain't that old. He said, you're my spiritual grandfather. I said, what do you mean? He reminded me of a story. Almost 30 years ago, I was down in Winston-Salem preaching for Dr. Paul Raker at a big building down there. We used to have sort of conferences. And I taught my soul-winning course on how to win a soul to Christ and preached on soul-winning. And out there in that audience was a pastor. His name was Bobby Robertson. Had a little church he'd just started. Never won a soul to Christ. Never in his life won a soul to Christ. And I taught soul winning, and he said, that makes sense to me. Dr. Robertson told me many times. He said, I went out that afternoon and led my first soul to Jesus Christ. He said, and that man said to me, Dr. Hiles, I'm the man. I'm the man. He said, thank you. He's a deacon in that church. So some turn out bad as well as some turning out good. But most of the story is good, except the deacon part. But Dr. Robertson said he'd been in this church all these years. I'm simply saying that coupon, just clipping the coupon. Somebody said, what keeps you going? Clipping coupons. Somebody says, I was called to preach years ago under your ministry. Hey, a couple. And by the way, you folks that want to criticize me for bragging, you've got a good... You ought to listen now. Take some notes while I'm preaching. You can spread this all over. But I'm going to say it anyhow if it hair lifts all of you. But of course, I mean, you're going to be an old grouch. It's just like you're a young grouch anyway. But I'm trying to help those of you who want to know how to have a happy old age. And I know I'm happy. I'm old and I'm happy. And I'm going up and down the country clipping the coupons. You know why? Because I've been scattering seed for all these years. Quit being so all-fired selfish. Look for somebody that needs help. Try to lift somebody that's fallen. Try to encourage somebody who's discouraged. Feed somebody who's hungry. Clothe somebody who's naked. Lift someone who's encourage somebody who's weary. I mean, while you're young, you're going to be old one of these days. You won't be able to have all the fun you used to have. Everything you used to have fun with be broken. You won't want to ride the loop-a-de-loop. Folks, if I ride those rides at the fair, at the amusement park, everybody under me is in danger of eating, of having my breakfast. I mean, I can get up on the second floor of a house and look down, and it scares me to death. I'm simply saying there'll be a day when the joy of your life will be a youth that serve for God. I was in Clinton, Maryland. Clinton, Maryland. A couple came up to me and said, Brother Hiles, won't you see our new baby? That's their second one now. They're from our church. They've been married 18 months. Figure that out when you get home. I tell you the story. Young lady came to live in this area.
She came to my office one night, and I'll be honest with you, I hate to say it, and she may hear this tape, and I don't mean to be unkind, but I could hardly look at her face. I wanted to tell her to sing quick, but I could hardly look at her face. I mean, I've never seen in all my life a case of acne like she had. I've never seen it. I mean, there's nobody here that has acne that can compare. I guess it's acne, but I can't tell you how awful her face was. And she told me, she said, I'm embarrassed. And she should have been. She should have worn a veil. Some of you gals that don't have acne ought to put on veils too, by the way. But I mean, either that or sing quick. But anyway, I didn't know her. I'd never met her before. A lovely personality, a beautiful smile, and just a tremendous gal. I know a doctor in this area. It's one of the best skin doctors in America. And I said, what you ought to do? She said, I'll never get married. I said, yes, you can get married. You have a beautiful smile. And I said, you're a pretty girl, except for the problem you've got with your skin. I said, you ought to go to this doctor. I said, I'll give you his name and address. You go to him. She said, I can't afford a doctor. I said, I'll pay for it. For months and months, she went to that doctor. I don't know how many hundreds of dollars it cost me. Her face began to get better and better and better. Till finally, it was just as smooth as an average woman. And she found a young man that fell in love with her. And they married. And I see him in Clinton, Maryland. Cast your bread upon the waters, young people.
Well, I'm not happy. Forget about whether you're happy or not.
Save you. Put some happiness in the bank. You won't need it when you get old.
Save some happiness for when you get old. Pray. Eat. Drink. Marry. Give in marriage. Buy. Sell. Shop. Be selfish. Live for self and get old someday. You've used all your happiness up, but bless God, for 62 years, I've been saving happiness.
I was up in Michigan, John Vaprizan's church. One of our teenage boys, about your age, I guess, Brother Ray, maybe a little younger than you are. Well, sure, everybody's younger than you are. But John Vaprizan grew up in First Baptist Church of Hammond. Went there and preached the other day for two nights and a day for him. And that was Linda. Linda Vaprizan. Used to be Linda Simpson, right? Linda grew up in our church also. How proud I was. There was John, good, strong church, going to build a brand new big building on a four-lane highway. And 700 people in Sunday school every Sunday and doing a wonderful work. And his lovely wife, Linda, our kids from First Baptist Church of Hammond. I was their pastor when they're teenagers. And then, guess who led the singing? Dave Biter. Dave Biter. Good night. I thought if I ever, when Dave was growing up, I thought if I ever visited him, be in the state pen. And Dave Biter. And John said Dave's doing such a wonderful job. And there's the music director and the pastor and the pastor's wife. I got a little note from Linda, and she'll hear this on the tape. I got a little note from Linda, and she said, Brother Hiles, I want to thank you. They met me at the airport in a limousine, a white limousine. Doc, if you'd been better when you were young, you could live like this too. But you wouldn't have to drive that little thing you got. But by the way, did I tell you I bought a car? Was it Sunday school class? I bought a car. I own a car. Yeah. 1974 Torino Ford. Yeah. Doesn't use any gas. Won't run. Well, downhill it does well. But anyway, they met me. Well, the kids that grew up here met me in a big white Cadillac car, private chauffeur. And on the way to my room, they did nothing but just tell me experiences when they were young and thank me for the years I invested in their lives. I got a note from Linda. And Linda said, Brother Hiles, and she went back to this big split we had when I first came. I'm sorry, administrative reorganization that we had when I first came. And she, and though we lost 406 people in one night. That's when we pulled out the American Baptist Convention and so forth. And but anyway, Linda said, dear Brother Hiles, she said, I thank you. But she said, what I want to say is I want to praise God tonight that my parents stayed. What she said. Thank God my parents stayed. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with me? A lot. You'll be old someday. You're determining now how happy you'll be when you get old. Look, you get old, it's a lot different. I mean, you don't look, you're not as pretty as you used to be. You're not as strong as you used to be. And a lot of things that you used to enjoy, you don't enjoy anymore. I'll tell you what you can do. You'll just have a leaky seed basket. Always be sowing the seed. You'll someday, you are determining now how happy you're going to be then. Now let a happy old man give you some advice. Let an old man that goes up and down the country clipping coupons because I saved some happiness for the future. I feel so sorry for you pleasure-mad young people. No, not all of you are. But I feel so sorry for those who are. Pleasure-mad. You got to be laughing. You got to be buying something new. You got to be at the amusement park of the mall. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the amusement park. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at the mall. And think about yourself and won't make up your own bed. You don't care about your mama. You don't care about your dad. You never think about anybody but yourself. I, me, my, mine, we, ours, us. One day, I'll guarantee you, you're going to be old one of these days, have a miserable, wretched life. Why? You used up all your happiness. That's why. Save some. Put some in the bank. I want to give you four things. One is stay busy for God while you're young. Stay busy for God while you're young. Number two, look for folks to encourage. Look for people. Be on the lookout. Folks to encourage. A word. A word here. A word there. Just a word of encouragement. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be little, a neighborly deed. Help somebody today. And that somebody, one of these days, you'll reap from that somebody. This story is not new to you folks who have been here for several years. I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia one Monday and Tuesday. I caught a plane, flew to Atlanta, but the airport was iced in. They could not land. The airplane could not land. Turned around and came back. And I went over to the office area. And nobody in the office knew I was there. I snuck in the back door. Nobody knew I was there. It's been years ago now, several years ago now. And I decided to go up to the Hiles Publications Department and see about a book or something. And I walked in the Hiles Publications, one of the offices up there, and there was a young preacher from down in southern Illinois who was there buying some of my books. He didn't know I was there. I didn't know him. And so I walked in. I said, hey! He turned around and he thought I was out of the state, and he turned around. He looked at me and didn't know what to do. Most folks don't know what to do when they look at me. But he did like this. I don't know why. And he said, you're Dr. Jack Hiles. And I said, son, I suspicioned that before I walked in this room. He said, oh my, I feel like I'm talking to God. I said, you are, son. I said, get off of it, son. What's the deal? What do you do? He said, I'm pastor. I said, where do you pastor? He said, little town, Illinois, southern Illinois. I said, what size town is that? He said, 200 people. I said, what did you have in Sunday school Sunday? He said, 700. I said, feel like I'm talking to God. And he told me a sweet story. He said, Dr. Iles, you're my hero. He said, I used to hate you. You're preaching in Springfield, Missouri at the Baptist temple there. And he said, a bunch of us college students from Baptist Bible College in Springfield came over to hear you preach and said, I came to criticize you because I hated you. But he said, I do get my Bible signed and I collect names. I thought, well, I don't like the guy, but it'll be another name, my Bible. So I got in line to get you to sign my Bible. And he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, I had a bunch of stuff in the Bible, papers. He said, they fell out. And he said, just like that, you jumped down and picked up all those papers for me. And while you picked those papers, I said to myself, that's Dr. Jack Hiles picking up my papers. He said, God knitted my heart to yours that night. From that night to this, you've been my favorite preacher. Now, some of you guys you're gonna see some guys gonna have some papers fall tomorrow, and you're gonna pick them up and say, "Can I be your favorite preacher?" It's not gonna work that way. It's not gonna work that way. But you never know. You don't say, "I'll do this." So I know. No, it's a life. It's a philosophy. It's a lifestyle. It's a life pattern. Or you just keep on and keep on and spread. And people say, well, Hiles, you missed so much while you were young. Yeah, but I've got so much while I'm old. And you're not missing anything while you're young, but you're going to use all your happiness up. Look for someone to encourage. Number one, I said, stay busy for God. Number two, look for someone to encourage. Number three, look for people to help. Hiles Anderson College student came to me the other day. Oh, last year. He said, Dr. Hiles, you know why I came to Hiles Anderson College? I said, no. He said, because years ago when I was a little boy, I got in line to have you sign my Bible in another state. And he said, when you opened the Bible fell out. And I started holding the cover. He said, Dr. Hiles, you reached in your pocket when I was a little boy and you gave me a $20 bill and said, son, you go buy you a Bible. He said, that's why I'm in Hiles Anderson College. Now, you don't know. You just don't know the joy that you can have when you get older. If while you're younger, invest. Look for folks to help. I think of Mrs. Clark. What was her first name? Vincent? Clark. A little lady here at First Baptist Church. She just spent her life helping other people for years. And time came for her to die. At her funeral service, person after person said out loud, she did this for me, and she did this for me, and this is what she did for me, and she helped me. I think of Mr. Briner. Nobody knows what that man secretly and quietly did for other people. And that's, you say, well, why was that old man so happy? I don't know why he was so happy. He wasn't as selfish as you are. Well, you say, you know, charity begins at home. You don't have the kind of Bible I got. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says lose yourself for others. I could see so many Sunday school teachers. I wish I had time to name the Sunday school teachers in this room. I'm going to name one, Mary Ruth Harrington. She's been teaching Sunday school here for 163 years. Young, our woman after woman, married woman, mothers, wives, all of this church. Point back to the year they were Mary Ruth Harrington's Sunday school class. You know why? She's always looking for somebody to help. And now that she's up like I am in her senior years, she's a happy woman. You won't find a prettier smile in this church. And some of you selfish people, you're going to still be selfish when you get old. You're the grouch. You're the one that's going to keep the baseball when the kids knock it in your yard. Yeah. Number four, when you see someone in need, consider yourself as the one to fill the need. You say, preacher, I don't travel across the country. Where can I find all these people in need? It's a good spot over there.
If any people in the world have the opportunity to help people in need, it's the people sitting in this room tonight. We've got college students here with the hundreds that need help, right? How many of you college students need help? There they are. I mean, you got a built-in opportunity. I mean, young couples here starving to death. Literally. My office this morning. They came one after the other. They always do. Preacher, my husband lost his job. My baby is sick. We don't have any medicine. We can't pay our rent. They've turned the utilities off. Preacher, what can we do? They're not only the college people, but there are a heap of people tonight who are bus people. I said bus people. I didn't say bus urchins. I said bus people. I didn't say second class citizens. I said bus people. You'd be amazed how many of them I see across the country. I'll be in California, God willing, tomorrow. Oftentimes when I go to California, a pastor's wife out there will come with her husband to hear me preach. And she'll often write me a little note and say, Brother Hiles, thank you for loving bus kids. I was a bus kid back yonder at First Baptist Church many years ago. And you loved me and you cared for me. School employees. I want to try to help some of these single school teachers who don't make enough. I wish you could see where some of them live. Living in poverty. You making $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, won't you share some of that with some of these dear people that teach your kids? When the tough days come, and they will come, and when the old days come, and they'll come, you're sure going to be glad as you travel and as you see people, you can clip your coupons. I was out in Omaha, Nebraska, about 3 years ago. Down East Texas, I'll come back to Omaha in a minute, if I can remember where I was. Down East Texas, I became pastor of my first full-time church, Grange Hall Baptist Church, out in the country outside Marshall, Texas. I went soul winning. Every afternoon from 1 to 5 and two nights a week, I went soul winning. Didn't have doorbells in those days. You knocked on doors. If you look real carefully, you'll see a little knot right there. That little knot I got from knocking on doors, hundreds of doors a week in Marshall, Texas. A little wart swelled up there. Looked like a wart. I called it the Jesus wart because I got it from knocking on doors so much. People all over that area heard about that, and they called me the Jesus wart. I'd go knock on a door, and some little girl said, Mama, the Jesus wart's here. Knock on doors. I was preaching in Omaha, Nebraska. Finished preaching. And I will forget it because that was the night during the invitation. This had nothing to do with the sermon. During the invitation, a guy walked down the aisle, and the pastor was at the altar. He said, I want to talk to Dr. Hiles. I preached on courage that night. He stepped up and he said, Dr. Hiles, I'm a homosexual. He said, that's the best sermon I ever heard in my life. He said, nobody knows I'm a homosexual. But he said, after hearing your message tonight, I got courage to come out of the closet and I'm going to tell everybody. I bet the rest of you preachers haven't got that much power with God. But anyway, where was I? What city was I in? Good. Omaha, Nebraska. I think I was out soul winning in Grange Hall Baptist Church, wasn't it? Anyway, when the service was all over, the last person that came by after I'd shaken hands and signed Bibles was a very nice-looking middle-aged man.
Looked like he was a man of some means. He was immaculately dressed. Fell about the size of Ed Lapina, but much nicer looking. But, no, he came up and he said to me, he said, "Dr. Hiles, you remember me?" And I said, "No, I don't." I'm going to guess the fellow must have been 45 to 50 years of age. And somewhere between 45 and 50. But looked younger. And he said, "Yes, you do." I said, "No, I don't know you, sir." He said, "My name is Johnny Mark Gray." And I said, "Johnny Mark." I said, "Didn't you and your family used to live on Highway 43 near the Grange Hall School in Marshall, Texas?" He said, "That's right." I said, "Were your mama and daddy both of them pretty heavyset people?" He said, "That's right." I said, "Johnny Mark Gray, you're the first person ever walked the aisle into my ministry receiving Christ as Savior." You think I didn't have a spell when I got to my room that night? All these years. I haven't played as much as some people. I love golf. Randy and I prayed. We should have prayed. An hour one afternoon, Monday afternoon, an hour Tuesday afternoon. First time I've had a golf club in my hands in years. And after it got through, I thought, now that'd be fun. That'd be fun to do every week. But I haven't done it. I haven't been to ball games. I love sports, but I haven't been to ball games. I pretty well spent my life just sowing seed. And by the way, I'd like to live a while longer, so I aim to sow some more seed. I aim to keep sowing seed. Yeah. But all these years, just sowing seed. I mean, the bread's coming back in. The bread's coming back in. You'll hear a lot of sermons, young people. You'll hear a lot of sermons about the Christian life. You'll never hear a sermon in your life that'll help you as much as this one, if you'll do what I said. And one of these days, a long time after my name is history on earth, you'll thank God that one night Brother Howe stood up and said, "You're going to be old someday. Just cast your bread on the water."